1 Corinthians chapter 10. Appreciate that song. Appreciate the lepers. And glad to have another person on staff that can play piano and sing. Hallelujah for that. Appreciate that. And we're a blessed church. We are a blessed church. And the other day, me and Brother Latta was sitting down talking about all the piano players we have in our church. There's a bunch of you that we don't even, you know, necessarily use up here. But I think we counted, we got about 9 piano players in this church. Most churches would beg for one. And you'd be surprised how many calls we get. Hey, do you know any piano players? We're like, no, don't know any. Don't know any. So God bless you. We've been praying for you on your search there, right? And yeah, Church Christ. Put an ad in the paper. You ain't getting none of ours. So I appreciate the Lord blessing our church in such a manner as He has. In 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verses 1 through 15, we're talking about on this series, things not to be ignorant of. And so we want to gain knowledge tonight through the Word of God and through what Paul has written here through the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. And we'll begin in verse 1. In 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 1 says, "Moreover, brethren, I would not that ye should be ignorant how that all our fathers were under the cloud and all passed through the sea and were all baptized unto Moses in the cloud and in the sea, and did all eat the same spiritual food, spiritual meat." And verse 4 says, "And did all drink the same spiritual drink, for they drank of that spiritual rock that followed them, and that rock was Jesus." Ain't that amazing that God's presence was with them all the way through their wanderings? Or not their wanderings, really, but He led them. But in their wilderness, He was there with them. Verse 5 says, "But with many of them God was not well pleased, for they were overthrown in the wilderness." And so tonight we're going to look at, don't be ignorant of God's blessings. Don't be ignorant of God's blessings. In the previous chapter, chapter 9, Paul, of course, writing to the church at Corinth, remember too that this is a mixed church. It was mainly Gentiles, but it had Jews in it also. But he's writing about what happened in the Old Testament. And me and Pastor was discussing this week, is that it's imperative that we understand our Old Testament. Why? Because it is for our learning. It is for our benefit to know the Old Testament. I truly think, this is my personal opinion, but I believe it's right, is that I don't believe you can truly understand what Christ did if you don't understand the Old Testament. Because the Old Testament prepared us for those sacrifices and those all the things that happened in the Old Testament. Picture what Christ was going to do on the cross and through His life. And so in chapter 9, Paul goes back and he talks about running, you know, and that you may obtain in verse 24, I believe it is there. But he the last part of verse 29, he said, or just read verse 27, sorry, of chapter 9. It says, "But I kept under my body and bring it into subjection, lest it by any means, when I preach to others, I myself should be a castaway." Paul says that if I don't preach Jesus Christ and if I don't keep this body under subjection, then I could be a castaway too. And then so when you get into verse 1, it says moreover. That means continuing what he just said, but more importantly. And moreover, here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to give you an Old Testament example for New Testament learning. And that's what he's going to do in this chapter. And so we'll look at that. And he teaches how not to be a castaway. And so we'll look at that after we pray. Father, we love you. Thank you for the night, God. Thank you for your blessings. And God, again, I need your help. Lord, I have nothing to say of my own that would change these folks here tonight. But Lord, if your Holy Spirit would just speak through your word, and Lord, if you'd speak through me tonight, I'd be ever grateful for that. And I would thank you, and I would, Lord, be pleased in what has been accomplished tonight. But God, I just ask you to take control of this service. And Lord, I pray that you bless the hearers. And Lord, help us not to be hearers only, but doers of your word. And God, I love you and I thank you for all things in Jesus' name. Amen. So in chapter 9, here we are. We're talking about chapter 10. I mean, we're talking about Paul is talking about the Old Testament, talking basically about the wilderness wandering when they come out of Egypt. And so we're going to look at those things tonight. Number one, we're going to look at their rescue. Number one is their rescue. That's found in verses 1 through 4. We just read that. But I want you to notice that five times here that he gives the word all. He says, all our fathers were under the cloud, and all passed through the sea, and were all baptized unto Moses in the cloud of the sea, and did all eat the same spiritual meat, and all did drink of that spiritual drink. It's very important that we look at that word all, and it's mentioned here in all of these verses, all the verses, for a very specific reason, because, and these are things that I haven't thought about, is that there was not one who wanted to be rescued left behind. You ever thought about that? That all of them passed through. We're talking 2 to 3 million children of Israel passing through, maybe more than that, but we're just guesstimating 2 to 3 million. And the Bible says, and they all did. They all did. And so the ones that were brought out of bondage, the ones who were rescued, guess what? They all made it across. I read a commentation this week. It was great. He says, when God closed the sea, he separated his children from the world. And all that pertained to the world was cut off from his children. Well, aren't you glad of that? Aren't you glad you've been rescued out of the world? It's the picture of Egypt. You've been baptized in a Baptist tree. That's the picture of the Red Sea. We've been brought through. And it says that they were baptized. And don't get scared about the word baptism in the Bible. It says they were baptized unto Moses. Basically, they were identifying with Moses at that time. But they were baptized, why? Because of the watershed that was around them. Because of the cloud. In other words, they were immersed with what God was doing in their life. But it says unto Moses. So in other words, they were identifying themselves with Moses now. Why? Because they were identified with Pharaoh. Well, when you've been brought out, no longer are you identified with the old father. The old devil. Now who you're identified with? Jesus Christ. The one who came to rescue you out of the world and rescue you out of bondage. Remember that before the children of Israel were rescued, the Bible says they were under hard bondage. That he put them under hard bondage, and that they were in a place where they couldn't go and be free, but they were in slavery. And just like us tonight, I know it's a Wednesday night crowd, might as well preach Jesus on Wednesday night. Pretty good subject. But I'll tell you what, when Jesus saved you, He rescued you out from slavery and from bondage. Bondage of sin and slavery of sin. You know why the world acts like the world? It's because they're in bondage by sin. They're in slavery by sin. Sin dictates what they do. But boy, when you get brought out, you can't go back. I just got this one. You know what? When the children of Israel crossed over, they couldn't go back. No, most of y'all know that, but it just dawned on me. When I have these things up here, and I just share them with you. But when they turned back, they couldn't go back. Why? Because once saved, always saved. And where are you headed? We're headed to the promised land. You say, is that heaven? No, that's God's will for our life. We're headed to where God wants. And by the way, sometimes He has to take us through the wilderness to get us where He wants us. But aren't you glad we're rescued tonight? Paul gives us that. He said that. He gives us the about their rescue, about them being brought out. And I love the word all. Can I just give this to you? This is free too. But there's a progression in this chapter. And I'm just going to give these to you real quick. But in verses 1 through 4, it says all. In verse 5, it says many. In verse 7 through 10, it says some. In verse 12, it says him. And in verse 13, it says you. You see how this story's going to turn? Here's what Paul's going to do. He's going to say, see what happened to them. See what happened to them. And see what can happen to you. He just keeps pointing and getting it more personal and more personal until he points the story right at the people, to his targeted audience. And I'll tell you, I see this chapter and I see my life in this chapter. Because see what's going to happen, and I just kind of give you the thrust of this message, is that God blessed Israel in spite of Israel. And Israel missed out what the blessings were really about. We must be careful. We must always be reminded we've been rescued out of sin. We've been rescued out of the hands of Satan. We have been rescued from the penalty of sin, the power of sin. Hey, listen, we've been rescued out of that. And that is one of the greatest blessings that you could ever have. But it also tells us, it says all. I love this because you know what all means when they all pass through? It didn't matter what social status was. The rich was with the poor. The young was with the old.
And those who were handicapped with those who were not. Those who were, it didn't matter. It says they all passed. You know what? When you get saved, you come through the same way. It doesn't matter if you're Jew, Greek, Gentile. It doesn't matter black, white. It doesn't matter if you're poor or rich. Thank God for that. Aren't you glad you can't pay your way to heaven? Because none of us would get there. And we see that here Paul is showing us, and he's showing us that there's one baptism. We're baptized in that minute, in that baptistry to picture one thing, and that's Jesus Christ. That we're picturing the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. And that he's telling us there's only one spiritual source. Notice he said that they drank from that spiritual place. Folks, you can't get any spiritual need fulfilled in the world. See, that's what Israel was trying to do. They were trying to go out in the world and fulfill their desire, but it was their fleshly desire. You see, they wanted spiritual things, but they wanted religion. They wanted a list of things, and they couldn't find it in the sacrifices and those things. Why? Because there's only one source, spiritual source. And when you've been rescued out, you are part of that source. They that hunger and thirst after righteousness shall be filled. Matthew chapter 5 tells us. I want you to notice number 2, their rebellion. We see that in verses 5 through 10. Verses 5 through 10, we see the rescue, but now we see their rebellion. We know that it wasn't a month later that when they come out of Egypt that they begin to be Baptists. They begin to whine and complain. Right? At least they were Baptistic in that area. But notice what happens in verse 5. It says, but with many of them, God was not well pleased, for they were overthrown in the wilderness. In other words, there were those who did not make it through the 40 years. There were those who died. There were those who, and you go on down to verse 8, it talks about the 23,000 that died. Hey, listen, there was one day when God came down a mount, or when Moses came down to the mount and he found the children of Israel worshiping gods. And listen, God opened up the earth and he can take them out. We must be reminded that rebellion equals judgment. Right. Notice verse 6. He tells us what they did. He said, now these were our examples. In other words, we should look to this. He says they were our examples to the intent we should not lust after the evil things as they also lusted. Here they were, they were lusting after things. And the next verse tells us, verse 7 says they were idolaters. They went and worshiped Baal and much worse, Ashtaroth, than all these gods. And notice what else it says. And it says in verse 6, it says, now, or verse 7, sorry, neither be ye idolaters, as were some of them, as it is written, the people sat down and eat and drink and rose up to play. You ought to study up that little phrase, rose up to play. It's found again in Exodus chapter 32 and verse 6. It talks about sexuality. What they did is that they drank and then they went and did those things. It was a free day. People did that which was right in their own eyes. Do we live in that day today? You better believe we do. I was talking to a man today on the phone that I visited last night. He wasn't home. He called me today. And he said, well, I may not see you here. He said, I may see you up in heaven. I was like, well, you're sick? No, sir. He said, I just got through watching the news. He said, it looks like Jesus is coming soon. And I'm telling you, it's close. It's very close. Notice what else it says in verse 8. It says, neither let us commit fornication, as some of them committed and fell in one day 3,000. And it goes on to say, neither let us tempt Christ, as some of them also tempted and were destroyed of serpents. God sent those serpents in there and killed them. Neither murmur ye, as some of them murmured and were destroyed of the destroyer. You see, what happens in our life is that when we rebel, God causes things to happen in our life. You say, if I rebel against God, will He kill me? I don't know. I don't know how God works. But I can tell you this, He won't kill you before He tries to woo you back in and give you lots of time. By the way, if He killed people, none of us would be here. If He didn't have grace, I'd be gone. Like the second day after I was saved, yep, I'd been gone. I got mad at people making fun of me being saved. I got in the flesh because people were making fun of me being saved. That's a good Christian, isn't it? I told him, I said, I'll whoop every one of you. And I said a few other things that I probably shouldn't have said. I was saved. And I said, "Those, you know, still, I wasn't far from being lost. You know, I mean, I was 2 days into this thing. Give me a little grace, people." Well, I'm glad God gave me grace. People make fun of me. I'll take you all out. And then they go, "Well, I thought you were saved." Well, I don't know what it is to be saved yet. I hadn't read it yet. I'll learn it. Thank God for grace. But see, we miss what God's doing in our life. And when we miss what God's doing, the blessings that God gives us in our life, we are causing ourselves to rebel. You see, we all have a problem. It's called flesh. It's called this old shell that we live in. You realize my body does not like green things that are good for you. I don't know about you, but I don't sit around and go, "Wow, I could really eat some kale right now. Oh, wow. Boy, if I could have some broccoli right now, whew, honey, would you run to the store and get me some broccoli? Hurry." No, it usually starts with bell and ends with blue. Or starts with blue and ends with bell. I'm dyslexic. Right? It's like you're sitting there, and I don't know about you, but I don't dream about nothing else but stuff that's bad for me. Ice cream, banana pudding, sorry, I'm a broke record. Brownies, I mean, I sit there, why is that? Because this body doesn't like things that's good for it. And my body, you know, your body doesn't like to get up and pray. Your body doesn't like to get up and read the Bible. Your body doesn't like to do things. Why? Because it is not saved. Hello? My body doesn't like to pass out tracts. My body doesn't like to witness. It has to be, what did Paul say? Paul said, "I keep my body under subjection, unless I be a castaway." In other words, this will get me in trouble if I allow it to be king in my life. And it's very easy. You say, how do you let the body rule? Just don't do anything. Don't read your Bible. Don't pray. Don't come to church. And buddy, this thing right here will grow, grow, grow. Amen. But I love what we see in the last part of this. And we see our remedy. I want you to look at this in verses 6 through 15. And we're going to look at all these verses. But there's some don'ts and there's some do's in these last few verses. I want to give these to you. I thought these were great. And of course, it's just Scripture. So I'm just giving you what Scripture says. So our remedy. Paul gives the remedy here. And I've already read some of them. But I want to give you the don'ts. What Paul says don't do. Number one, he says in verse 6. Notice again. He says, "Now these things were our examples to the intent that we should not," what? "Lust after evil things as they lusted." In other words, don't lust. You say, what is lusting? It's wanting something you shouldn't have. And it's lusting after it with a desire to go after it. And by the way, lust always starts here. Moves here, and then it moves here. That's how people get in trouble. Lusting after things they shouldn't have, and not just coveting, but lusting in a sexual way or in a desirous way. And we must be careful. But notice what he says not to lust after evil things. I want you to notice verse 7, number 2, he says, don't be an idolater. He says that neither be ye idolaters as some of them were. He says that that's what they were. They worshiped other gods. You know, in our life, obviously, if you go across the street of the church here, make sure I'm facing the right way. There is some people that have moved across over here, and they've set up a little shrine over here. If you go over there, it's pretty elaborate. We actually pulled over and looked at it. And I don't know what it is, but it's some fancy shrine. If you look right across the way, the house right across the way, you're not going to see me over there during the day. I promise you. Now, what I did go over, I had to look at it, you know, that's interesting. But you're not going to come into this church and find me with a little Buddha doll up here and me bowing to that thing. Right? You say, well, I'm not an idolater. We have to be careful. Because, see, we have idols in our life. And we try to glorify those idols. We try to make them spiritual idols. And sometimes as kids, sometimes as family, sometimes as cars, and sometimes boat, sometimes golf clubs, whatever it may be, we have those little idols. You say, what's an idol? It's anything that takes the worship away from God. It takes it away from God and puts it on an object. We must be careful. He said, don't be an idolater. Notice verse 8, he says, don't commit fornication. He says, neither let us commit fornication, as some of them committed and fell in one day. God judged them because they went after other gods. As the scripture says, they went a-whoring after other gods. They went after other things. And listen, we can do that very same thing. And let me give you the next one, verse 9. We see the fourth thing. He said, neither let us tempt Christ. Don't tempt Christ. You say, what does that mean? If you study this out, this is a good little study, by the way. They thought, if we go over here, God's really not going to do anything to us. Hey, don't tempt God. And that's why it says it twice in this, actually three times in the scripture, that God knocked them off. You know why? Because we shouldn't say, and the pastor says this all the time, we're living in that radical grace movement day. I'll just go do what I want to and come back to God and say, I'm sorry. I wouldn't tempt God. Don't tempt God. Don't put God in that position where He has to make a decision on your life. Don't tempt God. Don't put yourself in a position where God could do something to your family to get your attention, or allow something to happen to your family. Listen, you say, does God do that? I believe He does. You know why? Because He loves you. He loves you enough to woo you back in and to bring you back in and put you right where you need to be. You say, I just don't believe that. Well, don't tempt God. I don't care if you believe it or not. It's true. Corinthians tells us, 2 Corinthians tells us that God gave them over for the destroyer. Gave them over so Satan could destroy them. In other words, God can do this right here. And what is your life? It's but a vapor. It can be a quicker vapor if you ain't careful. I don't know about you, but I want to... You say, do you want to live long? Well, I want to live as long as God wants me to, but I don't want to tempt Him. I don't want God to take His hand off my life. Be careful with scooting into the world. Be careful, Paul said, lest I bring my body into subjection. I don't want to be a castaway. You see, I'm just going to be honest with you. I've had this thought in my life before. I would rather God take my life than let me be a castaway. You say, what do you mean? If I die, I go to heaven. But I've seen God put preachers on the shelf and never use them again. And to me, that would be the worst judgment upon my life, is God to say, you know what, Wiggins, you're done. And to get up and preach a message and God never be nowhere near me. Sing a song and God not be anywhere near me and not use me again. Folks, I'm telling you, that scares me to death. That's what Paul was scared of. Paul said, "You can't threaten Paul with heaven, right?" But Paul said, "Unless I be a castaway," Paul said, "I want to be used of God. I want to finish my course. I want to run my race." Here's what happened to Israel: God made them castaways. You see, only two of that old generation made it through: Joshua and Caleb. The rest of them, they were gone. Don't tempt God. I don't think God's in heaven tonight with a lightning bolt waiting on you to mess up and He's ready to sling it down here on you. But don't tempt Him either. Amen? Well, let me give you the last one of the don'ts. Verse 10 is found. It said, neither murmured ye as some of them murmured. Don't murmur. Folks, I'll tell you, I got a PhD degree in murmuring. I have to be careful. We better be careful. Listen, I'm not necessarily saying murmuring about things in this life. I'm saying murmuring about what God does in our life. See, that's what they murmured at. They murmured at what God was doing in their life. And sometimes we may not understand what He's doing in our life, but that's okay. We just trust Him through faith. And it's not us to say, God, why are you doing this? And He has to give us an explanation. God doesn't have to give us an explanation. Because God's doing what He's doing in our life. And when we get to the point, because I want to tell you, I believe two things. Or when murmuring happens, bitterness happens. Because that's just the way it happens, is that whenever the children of Israel begin to murmur, you ever notice the progression of their murmuring? Is that they begin to murmur to Moses. They murmur to Aaron. The whole congregation began to murmur. It started with a few. Then the whole congregation murmured. Then it says they begin to murmur against God. You see, you have to be careful because it's a progression thing. You start murmuring about something small and before long, you're so bitter you're not even in church anymore. If you want to murmur, practice with your wife. Just murmur about everything she does. See how well that goes for you. I want you to murmur about every meals she cooks. And come back and let me know how that worked out for you. I want you to murmur about every time she comes in there and says, honey, what do you think of this dress? You go, oh, my soul, that thing's horrible. Why are you going outside with that? Yeah, that's going to go real well for you. Just like I would never murmur to my wife, I would never murmur to my God what He's doing in my life. See, we miss the blessings. And sometimes the blessings don't come like that. Sometimes the blessings come after the valley. Sometimes the blessings come after the drought. And we must be careful. I want to give you the do's. Notice what he says. I can give you these. This is verse 12, 13, 14, 15. It's all laid out in the scripture. This is just, I'm just reading. The do's are, look at verse 12. He says, wherefore, let him that thinketh he standeth, what? Take heed. Why? Lest he fall. In other words, take heed. Take heed of what your life. Take heed of yourself. Why? Because we're good at pointing out everybody else's faults, aren't we? I'll sit around sometimes and think of every fault everybody else has. You know why I do that? Because it gets my eyes off of me, right? We always say, well, at least my wife didn't marry that guy. I try to make her feel better about her choice, you know. I always point, guys, I'm going to tell you, if you want to help your marriage, always point out, say, honey, at least you're not married to that guy. I literally showed my wife a guy on Facebook the other day, and it was somebody that wanted to friend you, and I don't know, the guy looked like he'd been hit with an ugly stick a few times. And I showed my wife, I said, they should marry him. He had one eye that was, it was bad. It was bad. You know, some of those, you know how they, you say, that's mean. I'm just trying to make her feel better about her choice. So anyway, you know, it's just like Pastor. He had to get somebody that could, you know, preach real well, speak real well. So he would look, that's what I'm here for, to make Pastor look good. All right, verse 13, notice what it says. So number one, do take heed. And then notice number 13, verse 13. If you don't have this scripture memorized, I used to carry this around on my 3x5 card in my vehicle, because it says, there is no temptation taken you, such as common to man. But God is faithful. I love that. God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that you're able, but will with the temptation also make a way of way to escape that you may be able to bear it. Now, a lot of people take this scripture out of text. They're like, God's never going to put no more on you than you could stand. That's not what the scripture says. The scripture says that with the temptation, God's going to give you exit signs. And it's up to you to take those exit signs. And if you don't take those exit signs, guess what? You're not going to be able to bear it. You see, you can bear things if you see God going, exit right there. Don't you hate when you get on the airplane? I wouldn't know where exit is. I don't listen to those people. That's all I see. I've already got earphones on. I'm done. But they always give you what? Exit's over here, somewhere back there, and over here. Right? And what do? What happens if we get in a place where we need those? We go, uh-oh, where was she pointing a while ago? Right? Because we don't pay attention. And see, when we get in a place of temptation and in a place of testing and trial, guess what? God's going right there, and right there. And we ain't paying attention to Him. And guess what happens? We get crushed underneath the load of that. And we fall. And we drift away. See, you say, what's the do of this one? Do escape. Notice what it said. He said, also, we'll make a way of escape. You got to get out. Take God's escape route. Verse 14 says, wherefore, my dearly beloved, flee from idolatry. Do flee. And verse 15, I'll give you this one quickly. It says, I speak as to a wise man. Judge ye what I say. Do judge. You say, well, no. Paul said you're to judge. What is that word judge? Well, I had to look it up. It says, think about, contemplate, make a decision. In other words, Paul said, the things I'm telling you, the things that happened to the children of Israel, you need to judge those things. You need to think about those things. Why? Because you need to bring your body under subjection. And you need to remember the blessings of God. And don't take them for granted. See, God blessed the children of Israel. And they just did what they wanted to do. They were led by this instead of led by the Spirit. Listen, we have to be careful with God's blessing. Sometimes we can, especially as America, we can be so blessed as Americans and living in this great country. We take it for granted. It's going to be the day when they come in here, guns raised, and the army comes in here and they take us out of here and they shut this church down. That's when we'll say, oh man, that church was a blessing.
When they take our children away, our children were a blessing. When they take our Bibles away, and oh yeah, our Bible was a blessing. Right now, we don't think about it enough because we're so used to it. We can get so used to God blessing our life. I'll be honest with you, I didn't think about when I woke up today that I was breathing. I didn't think about it. I just breathe. Right? I just breathe. When I woke up, I didn't think about my legs not being broke. I just got up and I walked. You see, those are blessings of God. Tonight, when we opened the Word of God, did you go, wow, there's people all over this world that don't have this? I didn't think about it. Why? Because we get so used to holding this in our hand. Let's stand tonight. Heads bowed, eyes closed. I'll pray, and then Pastor, you come. Our Father, we love you tonight. We do thank you for blessings. And God, help us never take them for granted. Lord, how you bless our life, and you bless us, Lord, even in the times when we're not faithful to you. God, I thank you for that. Lord, help us to learn a lesson from the children of Israel. And Lord, help us tonight to be grateful, and Lord, to not be ruled by this flesh, but Lord, by your Spirit. God, I love you tonight, and I ask you to bless this invitation, and I ask it in Jesus' name.